Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of Sports Summit Pod, where we are inevitably going to fill out our brackets, which will blow up in our faces.
Welcome to the COVID challenge, fellas.
This is it. This is what today is. Today is bring your bracket and bring your best reasons why you think a team is going to win. And then, that's it.
Yeah, that's what's going on today. I could clearly say this, Cam, in my lifetime, never did I ever think that I would see a tournament without Duke, Kentucky, and with Michigan State, UCLA playing a play-in game. Never thought I'd ever see that.
Louisville's not in it either.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's not in it.
It's the COVID Cup.
This is the first tournament since 76, I think it said, without Duke and Kentucky in it.
Yeah. And in 70, if I remember correctly, 76 was Indiana's 32-0 perfect year.
Probably.
I don't know. Anyways, we are we're here with our picks, our teams, our thoughts, and naturally everything's gonna go wrong for us. So
it already has.
Especially
the
names
are already
I know.
Wrong.
I mean, I'm right.
I mean, you are a Chris. I've been a coach, so
I've held cameras.
You've held cameras, so there you go. I think it all just we're out of the box today.
It kind of just works out.
I'm a darn good cameraman in many facets of life.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and I'm going to let you guys pick your brackets. I'm not going to fill out a bracket until later, but because I just want to MC this here thing and let you boys beat on each other about it. Okay, so let's start as we always should in the East bracket. Number one seeds. Let's start with the number one seeds overall first. Gonzaga, the overall number one seed. I don't think anybody has an argument there for the entire tournament, them being the number one seed. Michigan in the East, Illinois in the Midwest, and Baylor is the number one seed in the South.
Sorry.
So we're starting in the East. Let's start with the number one seed, Michigan, and Mount St. Mary, Texas Southern has a play-in game to determine who's the lucky person to play the number one seed. So let's hit the play-in game first. Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern.
Who's that to first? Who's going first?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Jump in and grab it.
I'm going to take Texas Southern in an upset. Doesn't matter. I'm going to take Texas Southern.
I mean, technically, they're both the same seed, so.
Yeah. If it was Mount St. Helens, I would have taken it in honor of Little Big League, but it's Mount St. Mary's, so I can't do that.
Mount St. Mary's got more tournament experience. I'm going to take them.
Yeah. I'm also taking Texas Southern. They have pretty cool uniforms and a cool mascot. No, but like Texas, Florida, California, you know, those states tend to have very top-end athletes. And if you're going to a Texas Southern, you're probably a kid who lives in Texas who didn't get the Texas Tech, those offers, so you went to Texas Southern. I mean, I'm going to hold my hands up and say, hey, I haven't seen him play once this year.
Yeah.
And if you have, you're probably lying, unless you play for him.
So, or if this is all you do for a living, in which case, then sure, we believe
right.
you.
Yeah. Where are you going to get a Texas Southern feed here? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. It's not going to, nor Mount St. Mary's.
No, but I'm going Texas Southern because Texas Southern.
Because it's Texas Southern. All right, the number two seed, Alabama, playing Iona.
Oh, we're starting from the bottom, working our way up.
I'm just hitting the two seeds, one and two first.
Oh,
Then we'll come down the bracket.
Okay, well, you didn't go to the one seed technically then because we picked the play-in game, but we didn't go to the...
We had to pick the play-in game so we could determine who plays Michigan.
Oh, I thought we were going to then go into... Okay, my bad. I'm taking Alabama. Tough, scrappy team. Put out a lot of good pros over the past couple of years. They play a good brand of basketball. I think they will handle Iona.
I'm going to go Alabama too. I've seen them play, obviously being a Tennessee fan, seen them enough in the SEC this year. This is a team that I think more people need to be talking about them being able to make a championship run and a Final Four run. This team is very good. And when they get hot, they are dang near unstoppable with their ability to shoot from the outside. Really like how they're playing right now, specifically like how they're built as a team. I see them walking comfortably to the Sweet 16 and from there giving good fight to a possible Final Four bid.
Now, I will say this. It would not surprise me if Iona could pull this off because of who their head coach is. Having Rick Pitino leading you into battle, someone who's been there with five different teams, which is a record, him and two other coaches have done it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. So, but I'm still picking Alabama.
That's fair. I'm still taking Alabama too. But that's yeah.
All right, so back to the one seed. If you guys have picked majority, I picked Mount St. Mary's, but you guys have taken Texas Southern. Let's go Texas Southern. Texas Southern versus Michigan.
After I don't think it matters who plays Michigan. Michigan's going to handle them.
Agreed. No, Michigan will handle them. The problem with Michigan is not going to be having, livers for a couple of weeks. They're going to have to get to next weekend. They're going to have to get to the Sweet 16 to get him back and then be able to make a full run. But yeah, Michigan easily.
Yeah. Is it livers? Isaiah Livers? Livers.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm blanking on it right now. Yeah, I probably shouldn't sure be, but I am.
Sure he's a long or a short eye. I don't know.
Here's a fun fact. Juwan Howard is the first coach and player to ever be a one seed in the NCAA tournament.
That's correct. As a player and as a coach.
Good for him.
Yep. You would have thought somebody else would have done that.
You know, you kind of would have. It's true.
But yeah, I think you'll start seeing it more and more now as that 80s, 90s guard of player comes into the coaching ranks.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right, let's move down the bracket, guys. It's LSU St. Bonaventure.
Cam?
LSU.
Yeah, LSU.
St. Bonaventure's got a solid player in Darius Days. If he doesn't play very well, it's over.
Yeah. He needs a Ja Morant-type performance if St. Bonaventure are to do anything. Yeah. Kind of like Ja did where he carried Moorhead. Or not Moorhead, Murray. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I think LSU is going to handle them well. They play a physical brand of basketball. Most SEC teams do. Sure. But I think LSU is going to handle this pretty easily.
Yep.
Now the next matchup. Every year, guys, I don't know what it is about a 5-12 matchup, but every year, every single year, they're intriguing 5-12 matchups, and I think this is one of them. Colorado-Georgetown. Georgetown is smoking right now. They're back to playing the old-style Georgetown basketball where you're physical, tough, gritty, good defense, kill the boards, and don't care what comes out of that. You're just going to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Ewing's got the old stuff right back into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I picked them. I don't – personally, watching this Georgetown team, they are not a 12 seed to me. Their record, unfortunately – makes them a 12 seed, even though they're, you know, I mean, they're one game above 500. They are not right now playing like a 12 seed. I think they are going to get further than some people expect. Patrick Ewing is instilling that John Thompson-esque system back into Georgetown. And don't be surprised if they shock some people this year. But I'm picking them. I'm picking Georgetown.
You see Pat with his John Thompson towel, too?
Yep.
He's doing the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, yes. And then I love
the people
that asked him for his credentials, and then he mentioned it in the post game when they were like, MSG. He's like, they're up here. If you just look up a little bit, they're right
there. I own this building. This is my building.
How can you look at a man who's, 7'1" still? I think he's still 7'1". I don't think he's shrunk that much. And the guy who's played there his entire career, he owned MSG in the Big East when he was a college player. Then he was with the Knicks forever, and he's in the rafters. How are you going to ask that man for his credentials?
Because it's the Knicks security, and anything that happens to be doing with the Knicks off the court, there's going to be some sort of story coming out of it.
Yeah.
That's just true. Beyond me. Next up, guys, Florida State. Oh, I'm sorry, Cam. What you got, man?
There we go.
You sure can't.
You know what? I changed to one side for 1 week, and it's just over.
That's what happens when you take my name, you know?
I get no respect.
None.
This one's really cool because it's Patrick Ewing bringing back Georgetown, and it's a Colorado team that is the highest seed they've ever been, and nobody on this Colorado team has seen an NCAA tournament, which is just really fun. A whole group of kids that have never gone through this before together. Colorado obviously had a good run through the Pac-12, lost to Oregon State. I'm going higher seed. I'm taking Colorado here. I like the way they played throughout the year. I think they can put just enough together to get through a Georgetown team that is playing hot, but they've had a lot of downs to go with their ups. And granted, it's all about being hot at the right time. And darn if that isn't Georgetown, the definition of being hot at the right time right now, I think is Georgetown. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely be eating my words here in a couple of days, but I'm going to go Colorado.
Well, if they turn the ball over consistently because of their physical play, that could be to their detriment. But if they don't, if they clean up those turnovers and play physical, I think they're going to take it. They're just playing tough. But Colorado's a tough draw for them right now.
Colorado's a good team. I'm not trying to knock them or anything. Over the years, we've seen, and someone who's played sports, the team that gets hot at the right time is the team nobody wants to face.
It's hard to handle.
I mean, they could be 0-16, but win the tournament, their division tournament, and get into the postseason, you're like, I don't want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that. Those 5-12 matchups, and sometimes those 2-15 matchups are really intriguing. I really like those.
Next up, we have another 5-12 matchup to get to later.
Yeah, I know. We've got UNC Greensboro, Florida State, fellas. What you got there?
Man, this one's kind of interesting, right? As a 4-13, I think people might want to make a little bit more out of this particular 4-13 matchup than maybe others. The UNCG's had a good season, but I think the talent of Florida State, I think, is going to be able to get them over the hump on this one. But wouldn't be surprised if it's close.
Right. You want to know the one thing about this team, UNC Greensboro? They turn their adversaries over 21% of their possessions. One-fifth of their possessions, they turn them over. That's
a good stat to have coming into a single elimination tournament. That's a nice stat to have.
Yep. You turn somebody over 21% of the time. That's amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think? I love what Leonard Hamilton has been doing at Florida State over the past 6-7 years. He's building a very solid Florida State basketball team. Scotty Barnes, obviously the name to watch for Florida State, probably a lottery pick. I think he is going to have a big tournament, and I think the UNC game, Greensboro game, is going to start it off. I'm going to take Florida State by double digits.
Whoa. Ooh, shoo. All right, next up. First, let's talk about the play-in game. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, UCLA, two of the traditional NCAA.
Hold on.
Where are we at?
Michigan State, presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's Michigan State, presented by Rocket Mortgage, versus UCLA. So
how is that a thing?
God only knows.
Money talks.
I mean,
it's money.
Yeah. But who the two of the traditional blue bloods in the NCAA tournament in a play-in game at the 11 seed?
Is that in short? Is that MSUPRM? They'd have to write that out on the box score.
Guy could be.
Presented by Rocket. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is Sparty presented by Rocket
PBRM? That sounds like a beer. MSUPBRM.
PBRM. Yeah. MSUPBRM. That's a lot. Here's the thing.
Maybe because PBR's in it.
No, that's true. There's a couple of coaches that you just don't want to run into, and I think Tom Izzo factors into that, of just coaches you just don't want to see regardless of where they are.
Sure.
Izzo's just a really good basketball coach, and he just knows what he's doing. And if you had to get him enough to get one game, I think I'd take Michigan State. So I think I'm going to take Michigan State over UCLA on this one, just because it's one game and it's Izzo, and there you go.
Yeah, it's going to be I think it's going to be a very good game. I think this is probably going to be one of those games that, you know, dominates the highlights and everybody's going to be watching because this is like a huge game. Mm-hmm. When you look at these teams, they don't have the firepower you associate these prestigious schools with.
Sure.
I mean, you look at this UCLA team, they got Jules Bernard, he's a good player. Johnny Zhuzhang, he's a good player. But there's not that Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, greats before them on that team. There's not that standout player. And same with Michigan State. I mean, surprisingly, Cassius Stanley is not playing for Michigan State this year. He's not his 17th year senior that he seems to be every year.
Seriously.
It like you got to factor in obviously Tom Izzo and the greatness that he is, but something just tells me Michigan State over the past couple of years just hasn't shown up. They just don't come ready. So I'm going to, and this could backfire me, I'm going UCLA.
Okay.
I'm going UCLA. I don't know why. I just, Michigan State these past couple of years has really disappointed, I think, everybody in their performances. Mm-hmm. I'm going UCLA.
Okay. Not mad at it.
All right. Okay. So let's look at both those matchups potentially. BYU, Michigan State.
Cam?
I think BYU is just playing really well right now. Now, Michigan State is an 11 seed. They get by BYU. They catch Texas. That's interesting, but I think BYU takes care of business. I like the 6th seed here on the 6-11 matchup.
All right, let's say UCLA BYU.
Upset alert, UCLA. BYU, they're a very good basketball team. They play good basketball. However, when the lights are on them, and they're playing a team like a UCLA, like a Michigan State, regardless of who it is, can they get it done in the big time? Or will they shrivel under the fact that they are coming off a tournament in which they play Gonzaga and lost by 10, who I think we can all agree is the best team in the nation, Pepperdine, St. Mary's, San Francisco, and LMU. Yeah. I think they've had a pretty easy run this entire year. Yes, Gonzaga is their toughest team they've played. And I think UCLA or Michigan State, regardless of who wins the play-in game, I think they can catch them off guard and upset them. So in my instance, I'm taking UCLA.
Okay.
Cam, who would you take in that matchup?
I'm going BYU still.
BYU still? All right.
Yep.
All right, in the last first-round game in the East bracket, UConn versus Maryland.
This one's weird, but I still like the higher seed, and I've picked the higher seed a lot, which means my bracket's just already screwed and we're not even through one quarter of it yet. But I like UConn. I like the way they're playing. I think I trust them a little bit more than Maryland. It's going to be a closer matchup, I think. The spread for this game is not much. I think it's UConn by a couple. So they're expecting it to be a very tough game, as it should be. But I like UConn to squeak it out a little bit.
Chris, what do you think?
If this was women's basketball, no doubt UConn.
No doubt.
But the fact that it is not, I'm going with Maryland. I'm going with the Fighting Terps. Aaron Wiggins is somebody I've got my eye on. He's probably the leading man when it comes to leader on the floor for Maryland. This one I was going back and forth with, but UConn, again, if this was women's basketball, yeah, easy. But I something about this Maryland team, they play tough basketball. They play a tough schedule all year. I think that they are going to, you know, the 7-10 I never consider an upset because the teams are so closely matched. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think Maryland will squeak it by. I think it will be a close game. But I think Maryland will sneak by with the win here.
And then when Maryland plays well, they are a good team.
Sure.
But when they're turning that ball over, it gets messy. All right.
Whoa.
So
sorry. I feel like this is breaking news since we're just talking about it.
What is that?
Gino Auriemma and UConn test positive.
Yeah.
So do they have enough in the time frame?
We'll keep you updated. We're not sure yet, but just thought that was interesting.
That could be huge.
Continue, please.
All right. Do you want to finish out this bracket, guys, or do you just want to finish all the first round games and then pick your final four, your semifinal, and your final?
We can just go round, right? We can just do all 64, all 32, all 16.
Yeah, we'll okay. do that.
All right. Yeah, let's do that. Let's move on over to, what I think is the easiest bracket to roll through myself is the Midwest bracket. When you've got the top two teams, Illinois is the one seed, Houston is the two. So let's see. We got a play-in game here. All right. I don't see one. So let's start with the number one. Illinois versus Drexel.
I mean, it's going to be Illinois. I feel bad for Illinois. I feel like the selection committee woke up and chose violence against them. This is probably the toughest bracket of the four. I think maybe Michigan might have something to say about it, but I think Illinois is the toughest top to bottom bracket. And I feel very sorry for them, which lets us know that the selection committee does not believe in anything about Illinois being on the one line. However, saying that, I think they're going to smoke Drexel.
Yeah.
Loyola, Tech, Oregon State, Okie State, Liberty, West Virginia, Houston, Cleveland State. You got some tough ones in there, that's for sure.
I am a huge fan of Ayo Dismunu. Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan of him. I think he's going to be a very good pro. I think he is going to have a monster game against a Drexel team he's probably never even heard of. The scary thing about these games, I mean, and we'll touch on it in other matchups, is you got Billy Big Bollocks strolling on in like, we're going to sweep these guys. It's going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you're in a 2-point game with 15 seconds left and you got to make a play.
Yeah.
However, I don't think that's going to happen here. I think Illinois is going to wipe the floor with them. I think you'll see the starters sitting on the bench with about 8 minutes to go in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drexel's only got 19 games under their belt this year.
Yeah,
and Drexel, I mean, props to them for fighting in to actually getting a seed because, spoiler alert, having play-in games is really stupid. And I speak for myself and anybody else who wants to agree with me, but play-in games are dumb, and having more than 64 teams in the tournament is dumb. Play-in games shouldn't actually count as a round because that's dumb too. But props to Drexel for actually making it on a line. But they are going to go home with a souvenir that is a loss to Illinois and arguable player of the year candidate. Thanks for coming.
They'll get a tournament t-shirt.
Yep. Thanks for coming.
They'll get to hang out in Indianapolis, which is fun too.
You'll get a gift bag and a t-shirt and be told that you cannot leave your hotel room because the world sucks right now.
But you'll get a nice hotel room.
Well,
they won't have to pay for it. So it doesn't matter.
That's true.
All right. Again, we'll jump to the bottom of the bracket just to hit the two seed real quick. Then we'll continue on the rest of the bracket as normal. Houston, the two seed, playing Cleveland State. I'm looking forward to this game.
Cleveland State is just one of those teams that you always are excited to see, I think, on a line in the tournament.
Yep.
They always bring some fireworks with them, regardless of how long they're actually in it. I think they're going to test Houston a little bit, but man, is this Houston team good.
They're tough.
Is this team good. I think Houston, I would say, to kind of quote back to Chris, I would not be shocked if the Houston starters were on the bench with 6 minutes to go. But I think Cleveland State's going to bring some fireworks with them for a little bit. They're going to make it interesting for a little while.
Listen, Cleveland State needs one of my favorite players that have played in the NBA recently, Norris Cole. They're also going to need Manute Bol and Bryn Forbes to be playing for this Cleveland State team if they want a chance against this Houston team. Houston is rolling. I think this could be the largest victory of the opening round. It would not surprise me if this was a 20-plus point victory. Cleveland State on getting in, but Houston is a bad group of individuals.
But Chris, you hit it on the head. The line is Houston by 20.
But not so fast.
Oh, hey now.
Houston is their own worst enemy.
this.
They shoot the ball at times poorly, and they do it often. That's the one drawback. If they have a poor shooting game, like I said, which they do often, this could be closer than the experts think.
So you think inside the 20?
I think inside the 20. I do.
Okay. All right. So Coach has 19. Coach has 19 and on, and we take 20 and up.
All right. All right. We're good to go. All right. Now we're coming straight down again. Loyola Chicago. Correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. Is this the one where Sister Doris? Is this the?
Yeah, she ruined the storyline for those boys who were out there playing. She was taking all the spotlight.
She's 101 years old this year. You know that?
Spotlight stealer.
She's all vaccinated up, man. She's ready to roll.
Can't believe you just went after her like that.
Yeah, why you go after her like that? She's a good lady. That's a good luck charm right there. 101 years old.
There you go. And what's that line? What's that? What's the game there, Coach?
The Loyola Chicago, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech's really interesting because you see that, I mean, everybody saw they kind of got, well, not kind of, they got a free run to the championship game with COVID stuff. Not saying that they didn't deserve it, but I mean, one of the teams literally had to drop out so they didn't have to play, which is helpful for them. And then you get to the tournament, the championship game, and you have a guy like Jose Alvarado plays every second of the game for their conference tournament play, plays all 40 minutes, plays his absolute butt off, knocks down all of the free throws he needs to knock down inside of the minute mark to make sure that Georgia Tech takes it home. If we're starting to group teams together that are extremely hot that you might not want to see, we've got Georgetown in there. I would argue the second team needs to be Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. They're playing very well right now. They're feeling themselves. Pastner, for some ungodly reason, has really thick mutton chops that I think somebody should talk to him about in his family, but that's not my place.
No, certainly not. Old fuzzy-faced one.
Yeah, but he's got some thick muttons that are pretty tough.
Okay, hold on. We're in COVID. Do you want him to go get touched up like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and miss a game?
I don't want him to. I'm just saying somebody should talk to him about what he's thinking. Does he need a hug? What are we looking for here?
Get them Clippers.
I like Pastner. I like Georgia Tech to take this game from Loyola Chicago and see Illinois in the 32.
I am a huge Josh Pastner fan. I think he could be one of those coaches like a Shaka Smart who generates a lot of momentum behind his name and ends up at a bigger school than Georgia Tech. Not saying Georgia Tech's not a big school. I'm talking about like one of the, you know, perennial powers, you know, in basketball. He also strikes me as somebody who could have been a character on The Office. He's that eccentric.
Yes.
This Georgia Tech team is tough. Yes, they got a little lucky. A lot lucky, let's be honest. They got a lot lucky. But yeah, it doesn't matter. I have Georgia Tech winning this. Loyola Chicago, again, we've seen them in the tournament before. They can make some noise. I don't think they'll be able to make as much noise this year. However, I'd say that this is the craziest year of them all, and I wouldn't be surprised if all our picks are wrong and a 16 seed wins it all. So
absolutely. Also, thanks to our friends at Vegas Insider. They sent us over a bracket that has the lines to go along with it. Loyola Chicago favored by 2.5.
Wow.
And also, talking about Pastner, Indiana currently has a head coaching vacancy. So there you go.
There you go. And he's from West Virginia. And he's from West Virginia, so relatively close.
Just saying.
Yeah,
okay. And they like mutton chops in Indiana, I think. I don't
they
know.
Like chops. They like them chops.
There you
they
go.
Do. There you go. And when was the last time, guys, you saw an ACC tournament champion, a 9 seed?
Right?
Well, usually the ACC tournament champions either Duke or North Carolina
or
Virginia.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, they're the best team in the nation because they have Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish and all these guys. You look at Duke, not even in the tournament. Virginia, not as strong. North Carolina, not as strong.
Streaky.
Yeah. So
UNC's been up and down. Virginia hasn't touched a court in 2 weeks. They haven't even been allowed to practice.
Right.
They have not shot a ball together as a team in almost 3 weeks.
It's gonna be rough.
They're gonna have to get the rust off pretty quickly.
Real quick. And if any team can because of the defense they play, and slow down everybody else's offense, including their own, sure, they can do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to lean on the defense, and that's what they're known for.
Hey, Cam, let me see that cup again of yours.
Go Vols.
Oh, yeah. By the way, next game is Tennessee-Oregon State. So we'll let you have at that, Cam.
A couple things here. One, I'm absolutely terrified. There are a lot of Tennessee fans that are already penciling in us to the round of the 32, which I think not so fast, my friend. Tennessee opened as a favorite by 7.5, which is ridiculous. If I were you, I'd bet the under. Oregon State and Tennessee are built a lot alike. Heavy guard play. They rely on defense. They try and make some shots when they can, but the goal is to hold their opponent under 50, basically, right? So Oregon State and Tennessee built very much alike. Tennessee going to be missing John Fulkerson, their big senior center. One of two seniors that have played any postseason play at all on this team. Fulkerson took two elbows in a pretty dirty tactic by a Florida kid, but he called and apologized, which is very nice. I'm going to take Tennessee because I am a homer, and I need people to know that, that this is why I'm taking Tennessee. If I was neutral, I would probably be taking Oregon State because Tennessee's been real up and down. One more point. Tennessee has two players that are freshmen that are slated to go in the top 15. They're lottery picks, Keon and Springer. If those two can start playing like lottery players or fringe top 10 guys, this Tennessee team defensively could make a run to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. They could. That's their ceiling. I don't know if they will, but they very much could if all the stars aligned. I think Tennessee squeaks by Oregon State and then gets slaughtered by Oklahoma State in the second round.
Chris, what you got?
As somebody who is a Oregon fan, as you can see right there, go Ducks. Mm-hmm. Oregon State, I was not impressed with them when I saw them this year. I watched a good amount of Pac-12 basketball. Oregon State is that team that, regardless of what sport, I can't trust them because they've had whatever it is. They'll be hot during the regular season and then just poop the bed. I think Tennessee, and this isn't because I'm friends with you, Cam, I think they are a very good team. I think they are going, even without the big man in the middle, I think they are still going to make this a very good tournament for them. I got Tennessee going through. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it could be a, you know, 3-4 possession game. But inevitably, I think Tennessee's ability and just overall betterness is going to shine through.
One more point. The over-under is 132. Hammer the under.
This could be like an old school college game where it's like 42-40, I feel.
100%. Both teams shoot 27% from the field. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's built for that. Built for that.
Yep.
All right, speaking of screwing the pooch, guys, I just did a little while ago. In the East bracket, I jumped over a game, fellas. I jumped over Texas Abilene Christian. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
How dare you?
I know.
This is the Shaka Smart that everybody wanted when he got to Texas because he has struggled. And thankfully enough, the Texas front office, the AD of Texas has stayed behind him. They've stayed with him. They've believed in what Shaka was trying to do. It's finally starting to pay off. This is the Shaka that everybody wanted, that has a Texas that's a very good team and the toughest division in college basketball right now, it's either the Big Ten or the Big 12, and you're not going to be wrong saying either conference, I don't think. I like Texas here. I think this Texas team could end up making a good run, especially where they are, the side of the bracket and the quarter of the bracket that they're in. I like Shaka and what he's doing with this Texas club.
Shaka Smart, 0-2 in the tournament with Texas. Does he go 0-3? No, he doesn't. Texas with the win. I wanted to pick Abilene Christian just because of the struggles Shaka Smart has seemed to have had in the tournament with Texas. When in the last 2 years, it hasn't been that Shaka Smart-led team. I think, like you said, the persistence is finally starting to kick in here. I think Texas is actually going to be back in one sport, and that's going to be basketball. because God knows their football team will never be back.
No.
So, yeah, Texas.
I'm so sorry I jumped over that game, guys. I don't know how I think it is. I think it's my Maryland allegiance. You know, being that season ticket holder for all those years, I saw Maryland and went, but still, I couldn't believe I jumped over that game. So
we apologize to Tanner, who's the lone Texas fan at the network. We apologize to him.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so we jump back into the Midwest bracket where we should be, fellas, and we're at Oklahoma State Liberty. Woo! Another Virginia school. Liberty is tough.
Man, Liberty's good. And they're having a really good year. And unfortunately, again, their welcome gift to March Madness was Cade Cunningham. And I don't know how to help them on this. Just, I don't know how to help them. It's going to be Oklahoma State. And I feel really bad for Liberty because if they were a 13 on any other line, honestly, the other four seeds are Purdue, Virginia, and Florida State. I would have taken Liberty over any of the other four seeds they got. Four seeds. They got the one four seed that they didn't need to see. And that's just an unfortunate draw in an unfortunate side of the bracket, but it's Cade Cunningham.
And they're not as good defensively as they've been in the past, but they're still solid. Still
sure. Oh,
solid.
No, good team for sure. They're going to put up a fight. There's not going to be a rollover.
No,
but
no.
I think Oklahoma State and Cade's going to do just enough. I think this is a good game on national TV for Cade to prove why he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. I think he's going to do it. He's very good.
Cade Cunningham, hands down, best player in the nation. Probably will be the number one pick, should be the number one pick. I hope Oklahoma City gets the number one pick so he can stay in Oklahoma. I feel like that'd be a great story, and to pair him with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I want to see that. But he's not getting ready for the NBA anytime soon. Oklahoma State, in a close one, I think Liberty does keep it close. I agree
closer
with you,
than the experts think.
If they were the 14 or whatever the rank they are, the 13 in any other bracket, I would have them going through. I'm a big Liberty homer. Virginia basketball is some of the best basketball out there. Cade Cunningham's firepower, too much to handle. I'm calling a triple-double. Oklahoma State wins.
Big time.
All right, next matchup, guys. San Diego State, Syracuse.
It's weird because it's still Syracuse, and they played well. They're a little down this year. Obviously, he's an 11 seed. This is not a 6-11 matchup. I don't know if I'm too worried about. I think San Diego State gets by. I think they get by. I don't know if eight points is fairly easily, but somewhere in that eight range. I think Syracuse keeps it close, but I kind of like San Diego State here.
Good pick. It's a good pick. It's a wrong pick, but it's a good pick.
I was getting set
it's wrong,
up,
but it's a good pick.
The Boeheim boys get it done. Buddy Boeheim and Jim Boeheim leading the charge. I think I can never bet against Jim Boeheim. That defense smothers you. And the way Buddy Boeheim's playing right now, I mean, look out. Doug McDermott performance in the tournament coming up. Syracuse. Going through.
Okay.
San Diego State, good team. Yeah. Not enough firepower to keep up Syracuse.
Gotcha. Next up, West Virginia, Morehead State. Morehead State's always tough in the tournament. They're always a game you better not overlook. But West Virginia, when they play, they're awfully good.
Yeah. This West Virginia is a team that I often find myself championing more than I probably should. I don't know how you can't love Huggy Bear and the style of play that he runs. I just, as a basketball coach, I gravitated to often because I just love the style of play that he likes to have. And it's very up tempo. You're always moving. I sort of like the upset here. I'm going to go Morehead State. I don't know why, but I'm gonna.
I won't fight you on it.
Yeah.
Huggy Bear has a tendency to kind of slip up when it comes to these single elimination tournaments.
Yeah, he does. However, I don't think it'll be this year. This West Virginia team, they're one of the teams that I've watched a lot of this year because they've been on TV a lot this year.
Sure.
They are a damn good team. And I think Huggins is going to – I think he's going to have his Andy Reid year potentially this year where he starts to put to bed some of those demons. I have West Virginia going through Morehead State, obviously the alma mater of one Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, good player.
Daggone
good player. A lot of money and then just quit wanting to play basketball the way he used to play. I don't get it. But yes, Huggins and West Virginia University go through.
Now, I'd never thought I'd say this about an ACC team, but this next game really kind of, I'm not going to say a snoozer, but an evenly matched snoozer. Clemson Rutgers.
I got Rutgers. This Clemson team doesn't do it for me personally. Clemson's a football school. Nothing against these kids, but they just don't do it for me. I think they succeeded in probably the weakest year of the ACC in recent memory.
So you're going with the State University of New Jersey.
Yep.
I second everything Chris just said.
Going Rutgers as well. Mm-hmm. All right. That fills out the Midwest bracket, gentlemen. Now let's jump to the South bracket, where we've got a Baylor at 22-2 as the one seed, and the two seed is Ohio State at 21-9 as a two seed. Oh, I know. When they play ball, they play. So let's see. We have a play-in game in this bracket. We do not.
No.
Nope. Doesn't appear so. So let's start with Baylor Hartford, guys. I think it's a fairly easy choice.
Baylor by big.
Big buckets.
Big buckets.
You pick the number, and I'll probably say yes.
Yeah.
All right.
This Baylor team is good.
Not a whole lot of talking there.
Baylor has built a solid basketball program over the past 10, 12 years.
Absolutely. I cannot agree more with that and what they've been able to do. Just the consistency. And not even in the consistency, but what Scott Drew is doing is he's consistent in the sense of, you know, Baylor's going to be there, but he's also progressing them at the same time. You knew they were going to be there as a 7 seed. Then you knew they were going to be there as a 5 seed. Then you knew they were going to be there as a 3 seed. Now he's fighting for an overall 1 seed. Like, he just consistently gets this team better and this program better. And what he's doing is impressive. And this Baylor team is just so freaking good at basketball.
And call me crazy, guys. You generally don't see it built this way, but Baylor seemingly built their men's program through the success of their women's program. Their women's program was succeeding and doing a tremendous job, and the men had to keep up. They're like, man, these girls could whoop our behinds, and look what they're doing. They put money into our basketball program. We've got to get some athletes here, and they've done just that.
Absolutely. I mean, Kim Mulkey is there at Baylor. Just the stuff that she's been able to do at Baylor, the relationship that her and Scott Drew have.
Yep. It's been very advantageous.
Has played off a lot on that. And Barnes had the same problem when he got to Tennessee. You know, Pat was still there. Her legacy, you know, is still there, but her legacy was very much still there when he got to town. And he had to do the same exact thing. So, yeah, absolutely. It's the success of the women's team.
Yep. All right, guys, we'll jump to the number two. Again, coming down in the bracket to hit the two seed. Two seed, Ohio State versus Oral Roberts.
I don't know if there's a team in this bracket. Not in this bracket. I don't know if there's a team in this field that wants to see Ohio State when it's kicking on all cylinders.
They're tough.
This team is scary. This is a team that it has a 6'4 point guard, and then 7'6"-8" players that can play every position on the court.
They can switch. Scary.
They can switch everything. They can play every position. They can move the ball. They're good defensively. this team is very good. Very good.
They are.
Ohio State by whichever number you would like to pick.
Okay. All right. Interesting matchup at the 8-9. Very interesting.
I don't think
North Carolina, Wisconsin. Oh, I'm sorry. Chris, did you get this pick on it? Ohio State, Oral Roberts?
Ohio State.
Okay. North Carolina, Wisconsin.
What do you want me to say?
I know. So, I know. I guess when a compelling argument comes out, I'm like, all right, let's move on.
This Wisconsin team looks down right now. They're a 9 seed. I don't think they're playing very well. It scares me to death that Roy Williams is going to take an 18-10 UNC team to a Final Four this year, because why not? It's Roy Williams and it's UNC. I don't think they will, but it would not shock me if it happened because it's Roy Williams. And again, coaches you don't want to see in the tournament, he falls into that small category. I like UNC here to go over Wisconsin. I don't think Wisconsin has it to play with UNC right now.
You know, and there's something too. Remember, we went back and we were talking about a turning a team over 21% is a heck of a stat to have with you. North Carolina is probably the best offensive rebounding club in the nation. Mm. That's something you can hang your hat on when you're going into this tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. North Carolina, I again, Roy Williams will coach any he could coach a seventh grade team up in a tournament and they'll make a Final Four run. Caleb Love and Armando Bacot are gonna have big games. I agree with you, Cam. Wisconsin is down this year, and even when Wisconsin is up, I never pick them because they always disappoint. Thank you, Frank Kaminsky. You ruined a lot of people's dreams that one year. So North Carolina by about 12.
All right. In this next matchup, fellas, I'm going to describe a team. I want you to tell me who it is. Play fast, get the ball up and down the court, rebound very well, and they are tough as nails.
Virginia.
Well, it's in this matchup, the Villanova-Winthrop matchup.
No, I know. I really like Winthrop.
That would normally be the description of a Villanova team. Sure. But that this year is Winthrop.
That's tough, but whatever. I'm going to go with it. There's no reason for me to pick Villanova here. I really like the way Winthrop is playing. Not often do you find a lock for an upset, but this might be the line, right? The Tennessee-Oregon State one, I don't even think that's an upset, honestly, if Oregon State wins. I really don't. This Winthrop team is really good, and I think they beat Villanova. And whoever they catch in the round of 32, I think they beat them too. I like this Winthrop team.
They're tough.
You said you can't find one reason to pick Villanova, correct? You can't find one. I'll give you one. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is a stud. I am a big fan of the JRE.
Okay.
Like it. Not the Joe Rogan Experience.
No.
Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Exactly. I expect him to have a big game and carry this Villanova team in this tournament. Will it be for long? I don't know, but it'll be for more than one round. I got Villanova going through.
Love it.
All right. Next up, guys.
That JRE did not get $2 billion from Spotify.
No, he didn't.
All right, next up on the board, guys, Purdue and North Texas. Who you got?
North Texas, the Green Eagles. That's all I know about North Texas. That's why I'm picking Purdue.
Yeah,
aren't they the Big Green? Isn't it Big Green?
I know they have an eagle in their logo, so
yeah, they do have an eagle.
They're green.
It's green something.
At
Purdue, the Boilermakers. They're playing really well. I think they're a solid 4 seed against this 13 matchup. I like Purdue to go on.
Travion Williams, one of the best big men in the Big Ten.
Yep, he is very good. And Purdue is always that team that plays tough, hard-nosed basketball, and it's a product of being in the Big Ten.
Sure.
Matter of fact, I still have a poster hanging on my wall for Purdue. Wonder why that is.
Wonder.
It's where BJ went to school.
Oh.
So, well, BJ's, I mean, we know that. School, but yeah. I still have it there.
But Travion Williams, I think he can I think he's going to dominate this tournament. Yeah. I think there's a couple big men I have my eye on. He's one of them. I think he's going to have a very good tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could take over a game. Sure. Texas Tech, Utah State, fellas. Cam, your audio just faded out.
Auto Chris.
There you go.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. I got a FaceTime on my iPad. So there's that.
That can't be done right now.
It can't be. I like Texas Tech was weird because 5 minutes ago, Texas Tech was playing for a national championship game. And now, you know, they're 17-10. They're coming in. They're playing in, again, arguably the toughest conference in college basketball. So you have to give a little bit of that. They played the top teams in that conference very hard, and they played them very well. I think Texas Tech squeaks out Utah State, but I must use the description squeaks out Utah State. So I think Utah State is good, but I think Texas Tech does a little bit more because they've been battle tested a little bit more to get through.
Utah State can defend, rebound, physical, and probably got a very strong front court. Tough Utah State team, but I agree. Chris, what do you think?
I'm going with Texas Tech. I really enjoy watching Mac McClung play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Georgetown transfer, now at Texas Tech, was a high recruit. I really enjoy him playing basketball. And as you said, 5 minutes ago, they were in the national title. They're a team that has a coach who's been there. They have a staff that's been there. I don't know if many of these players have been there. I'm sure there has been some that were there 2 years ago. I think Texas Tech gets by Utah State. Utah State's a tough team, but I think Texas Tech gets by this one. It's a close game.
You sure? Yeah. I'm
waiting. All right. Speaking of another interesting game here, guys, and you never thought you'd hear this with Colgate in that game. Arkansas-Colgate. Yeah. Going to be a pretty interesting game.
So this is my third team of teams that are just getting hot at the right time that I don't think people want to see. And that's Arkansas.
Arkansas.
When you were talking about describing this team, play fast, play, you know, all this, like that all applies to what Arkansas has been able to do. You know, granted, obviously Alabama was the SEC tournament winner. But man, this Arkansas team is scary and very good. I think they shock a lot of people because I don't think a lot of people are used to major Arkansas sports being very good unless it's been played on a baseball field. They do a very good baseball team. Mm-hmm. I think Arkansas scares a lot of people this year. And it starts with, I think they beat the mess out of Colgate.
Yeah. Breakout player of the tournament. He's already broken out and he's been playing well all year, but maybe this time it'll be on a national stage with more people paying attention again, because it's the Arkansas. You think of Arkansas, you think of Darren McFadden's last big name player that you remember at Arkansas. And that was how long ago?
That's actually true.
Moses Moody, 6'6", 205, coming off a game against LSU where he dropped 28. I do think Arkansas gets through this game. Colgate, I could see somebody making an argument for them, but inevitably I think Arkansas is, again, one of those teams getting hot, scary when they're on. They just got to show up.
Because they just shoot, man. God, they just shoot all the time. And that's the scariest part. If Arkansas gets any sort of hot, you are just dead floating in the water.
That's where Colgate's got to control offensive tempo, because they're an excellent offensive team. They got to execute in their half court, control the offensive tempo. And if Arkansas gets out there and runs, was Nolan Richardson with the 40 minutes of hell?
40 minutes of hell, yep.
And he did just that. He was a fantastic coach and had some great teams back then.
And I mean, hey, Colgate is 14-1. They are 14-1. Yeah. Now they don't play the toughest teams. But it doesn't matter. When you're on a roll, it doesn't matter if you're facing Goliath. You could think and go, look, we're 14-1 for a reason. We play damn good ball. Who's to say we can't come in here and do it?
Sure.
And especially this year. Especially this year. Yep. Next matchup, guys, that'll round out the bracket, Florida and Virginia Tech, 7-10 matchup.
This cup mandates that I pick against Florida in every sporting event. So Virginia Tech. Although I think Florida has a good enough team that can squeak by, but I actually like Virginia Tech here, even if it wasn't against Florida. I think Virginia Tech's kind of sneaky pretty good.
Yeah, I'm actually taking Virginia Tech as well. Again, Virginia basketball. It's tough to bet against them. I also think that Keontae Johnson, obviously, for reasons that we all know, not playing for Florida, correct? Mm-hmm. I think if he was playing, it'd be a different story. Mm-hmm. But I'm taking Virginia Tech. I don't classify this as an upset.
I don't know.
No, I don't either.
Now there's 7-10 matchups. I think that's the widest spread I look at and say, you know, I don't consider any of those 7-10 matchups upset.
I'll say this, if Virginia Tech can keep Scotty Lewis from being Scotty Lewis, I think they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Tall task, but yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. All right, guys. So that swings us over to the West. Yeah. We're in the last bracket here. The West, number one seed and overall seed for the tournament, Gonzaga at 26-0. And the number two seed with one of the better big men in the country, Iowa, 21-8. So let's get to the number one seed first. We've got a play-in game to see who gets the gratuitous butt-whooping from Gonzaga, being Norfolk State and App State. Norfolk State's about 3 miles from the university I went to, right across town.
I don't know the stat on me, but App State, the first time in a long while that they're – have an appearance or have won the conference and got in that way, or I can't remember kind of how that went.
Kind of both. Yeah. Kind of both. It's been a long time they've been in a tournament.
In honor of you all, I'm picking Norfolk State. Because my brother went to Georgia Southern and that mandates that I can't pick Appalachian State. I have a lot of contracts going around.
There you go.
Chris, what do you think?
Norfolk State.
You know,
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Football, Appalachian State all day. Sure. Like you said, Cam, it's been a long time since they've been there. And you know what? Let me be a homer for a little bit. Norfolk State.
There you go. There. Is that another Virginia basketball team?
That's another Virginia basketball team.
You know, like I said, 3 miles from my school, I see them a lot. We played them every year in every sport. Those boys are tough. They're tough.
I would not be surprised if this Spartans had a better tournament than the other Spartans.
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. App State favored by three.
The Spartans of what's their company?
Rocket Mortgage.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's go. We're going to go Norfolk State. We're going to put them in that bracket, Norfolk State, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga by whatever number you want.
Listen, this honestly could be Gonzaga by 50. It really could. I think we're all in agreement that Gonzaga, hands down, best team in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's not really close.
Yeah.
Gonzaga, I think Gonzaga is the number one. Yeah, Gonzaga is the number one team for a reason.
I think it's close early.
I also think that this is the most straightforward bracket of them all.
This is the most chalky bracket. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, could be the because could you be. You've got more strong versus distinctly weaker teams in this bracket than you do. It's not as if this is a weak bracket. It's not, but it's not a overwhelming bracket across the board.
This is another nice way of us saying that Gonzaga is going to sleepwalk to the Elite Eight and then work their way to the national title game.
Right. Okay. Number two. This really intrigues me.
Yeah,
Grand Canyon I don't think has ever been in the tournament, and I'm a big Grand Canyon fan. I like them. They have grown over the last 15 years in programs across the board. Mm-hmm. Really nice to see them in the tournament, and they draw Iowa.
Yeah, this one's really interesting because you have a guy like Luka Garza who plays for Iowa who's probably going to be National Player of the Year, to the chagrin of many that follow Illinois and the Fighting Illini. It's so interesting, though, because Luka Garza is most likely going to win National Player of the Year and then not get drafted. which you almost, I don't know if that's ever happened before, the National Player of the Year did not eventually end up getting drafted.
It's now, so
I think somebody will take a flyer on him like late in the second round, but he's definitely not going to go first round. Love the Grand Canyon story. I think Iowa has had their ups and downs, but if you're asking me, can they get through Grand Canyon? Yes, they can. I don't know how deep this Iowa team can run because of their downs, but can they do enough to beat Grand Canyon? Sure. I like Iowa here.
It, you know, the fact that someone like a Luka Garza is probably not going to be a first-round pick, I really enjoy this kid. I think he has everything it takes to be a – I mean, what he shows, a dominant big man. There's not many of them that are in the NBA, and that's why he's going to be passed over by so many teams, which I think will inevitably bite them in the behind. I think he could have a 2020 game right here. Again, probably Naismith Player of the Year, deserves it. Obviously, there's other players out there, but I think he deserves it more so than anybody else. So, yeah, I'm taking Iowa.
Yeah.
Yep, easy one there. All right, let's go back to the top of the bracket, moving down, guys.
Although Bryce Drew is a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
So he could get that Grand Canyon team rolling.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Bryce Drew, Valparaiso, if I remember correctly.
Bryce, yes. Yes, he was.
Woo!
Good for you.
And Valparaiso. You should know. Round one, pick 16, Houston Rockets.
Oh, he was.
There you go. There you go.
There was. Total side note. Nobody's watching anyways. There was a lottery mock draft the other week that had us getting Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga at 3 and Io at 19 in round one. And I cried a little bit on the inside. I think Io goes higher than 19 now because that was like 2 weeks ago. But also we're making a great run at Cade Cunningham. So whatever. Moving on. Okay.
Anyways. Whatever. Okay.
Like I said, you're not going to ruin my story of Cade Cunningham to OKC.
There you go.
I don't want to, but I'm saying we've lost 16 games in a row. So we're kind of fighting for him at this point.
This is true.
Oklahoma, Missouri. A good 8-9 game here, guys.
Fun 8-9 game. I'm gonna be an SEC homer. I kind of like Missouri here. I think Oklahoma clearly plays a harder schedule. Obviously, being a Big 12 team, I think they really do. Actually, you know what? Forget that. I hate Missouri. I'm gonna go Oklahoma. Kind of like Oklahoma here.
I like that switch.
You know, you just like that switching man. No, I think Oklahoma plays in a tougher conference. I think they played the top of that conference very hard. Can Oklahoma beat Missouri in a one-off game? Sure. I like Oklahoma here.
I do too. Big fan of Oklahoma. Especially when one of their key players, Brady Meeks, Brady Manick, if you type him in on Google and look at the first picture that pops up, I am never betting against a man that has the confidence to rock this stash. But this isn't an Oklahoma team of the past where they had the Trey Young or the Griffin brothers that were leading the team. This is a team. This is a unit. This is a good team. So, I'm taking Oklahoma. I think this could be a very old school game, too. I think this could be a very low scoring game.
Not so fast. Oklahoma. Close.
OU is a 2-point favorite.
All right,
so
next
close
up, guys.
For you is one.
Close. There you go.
That's one.
Creighton, UC Santa Barbara.
God,
UC Santa Barbara, aren't they the banana slugs or something
they
weird
are the
like
banana slugs? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respect the name. I almost want to take them because they're the banana slugs.
Right.
Actually, they're the Gauchos.
Oh, who's the banana slug? It's a California team. That's banana.
It's a minor league team.
Oh, no.
Minor league baseball team.
Yeah.
Who cares? UC Santa Barbara, good bowling school. Moving on.
moving on.
I like, Creighton is fun. Creighton, I want to see go far just because they're a fun team to watch. I don't know if they're good enough to hang with the big dogs, but they're just fun.
Well, they took a whooping the other night.
They did. No, they really did. And there's definitely some holes in that armor for sure. No doubt about it. But I do like Creighton to hold serve here and get to the round of 32.
Chris?
The Gauchos. With the upset. UCSB over Creighton. Creighton the other night got handed.
They
with
did.
With what's going on in that program and then getting handled like that, they could come in a little lackadaisical.
It was I got a what, 40 points, Chris? 40-point loss?
It was big.
Yeah.
I got UCSB going through.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm fighting an uphill battle on that one, I get.
And you know what? They might be my FGCU this year. I don't know.
Wow, that'd be great. That'd be great. All right, next on the line, guys, UVA, Ohio. UVA, a COVID cut there for a while. Mm-hmm. Out of the ACC tournament, back, hasn't played a meaningful game in half a month. Hasn't practiced in half a month together versus the Ohio club. What you got?
I will say that the over-under for this game is 132. I believe the correct word is under. For a team that hasn't played in 2 weeks, nor have they touched the court. I think we alluded to it a little earlier. When you're a team that can rely on your defense so much, that can help your offense get back onto pace. I like Virginia to be able to hold off a good Ohio team at the 13 seed. I like UVA here.
As a coach, as a former player, it is hard to not do anything basketball related for 2 weeks. Yes. Because when you come back, I don't care if you're LeBron James or me, and that's a big, big discrepancy there.
Closer than the experts think.
It's tough to knock that rust off. There's going to be rust there, which is why I have Ohio upsetting Virginia.
Good for you.
And it's not that Virginia's not a good team. They're not coached well. It circumstances outside of their, you know, realm of being able to control it. They cannot control what happened to them. Well, they can, but that's a different story. I just think the 2 week layoff is going to be tough. I think Ohio is going to come in, and that's going to be the poster board material for Virginia next year to come back and inevitably win the title, like the year where they lost to the 16 seed and then came back and steamrolled everybody.
One versus 16 never happened. What happened to your philosophy, Chris, on Virginia basketball here? COVID.
Like I just said, it's not that they're not a good basketball team.
I want to make sure.
When you're sitting and you can't do anything basketball related for half a month, I mean, that's a long layoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your conditioning gets thrown off in 2 months, in 2 weeks.
Certainly. Certainly. All right. Next on the line, guys, USC, but we've got a play-in game here for them to face either Wichita State or Drake. Yeah.
Drake.
So let's go to playing
Drake.
Game. Drake. Wichita State Drake.
I'm going to take Drake over Wichita State.
Oh.
And then I'm going to turn around and take Drake over USC.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Your boy's firing on this one.
Oh yeah.
Which means they're going to lose to Wichita State. Now I'm going to be 0-2.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, all right. I'm taking Wichita State, the Shockers. Drake would have a better chance if Drake was actually playing in the lineup for Drake. But then I'm turning around and also taking USC to kick that behind because Evan Mobley. And that's all I need to say.
Evan Mobley is very good at basketball.
Is a monster. Sure. His brother, Isaiah Mobley, also a very good player, but Evan Mobley is a stud. Locked, probably top 7 pick. I had him at the start of the year going top 3, but maybe drops a little bit. Regardless, damn good basketball player, and I think he is going to have a nice tournament to solidify his draft.
Wow, guys, we got the two COVID cancellations right here in this bracket. Next line, Eastern Michigan, Kansas. Another COVID victim.
Eastern Washington?
Kansas.
Yeah, you said Michigan.
Yeah, you said Eastern Michigan.
Oh, Eastern Washington. I said Michigan. Eastern Michigan. Eastern Washington. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The emu.
I literally have no reason outside of 5 words to not pick Kansas. So Kansas.
What are those 5 words?
It won't be Eastern Washington.
All right. You know what? You sold me. Kansas.
Okay.
No, again, there's a handful of coaches in college men's basketball that when you look across the way, you go, damn. We could be the hottest team in the country, but when you're running up against Krzyzewski, Boeheim, Roy Williams, Izzo, Calipari, every now and then, but Bill Self.
Self.
Probably one of the more underrated coaches in the nation, which is crazy to think because he's always coaching a great team. But he never gets the plaudits that the Caliparis, the Krzyzewski, the Williamses get. I think Kansas wins this pretty easily. Again, you look at this Kansas team, there's not that one huge standout Andrew Wiggins-style player that, they have Ochai Agbaji. I think I said that right. He had a very, very good game against Oklahoma the other day. I got Kansas going.
Yep.
You want to know how to upset a Kansas person? When you say University of Kansas and you accidentally slip and say UK, woo, boy, you're really upset a Kansas person then because they're like, no, that's Kansas, Kentucky. Yeah,
I don't think they want to be Kentucky this year.
I don't think they do either. No, KU, I'm right there with you. And here's a good game coming up here, guys, on the next line. Cam, did you get KU in Eastern Washington? You did. It's not going to be Eastern Washington?
Yep.
All right. Oregon VCU, the Shaka Smartless VCU. Been gone for a while.
I really love your Oregon Ducks, Chris. I just enjoy the brand of basketball that they play. I don't think, and I've got to say this too, foreshadowing, I kind of like Iowa as a second round matchup for Oregon. I don't know if they win, but I like that matchup. I've got your Ducks going through over VCU. VCU, again, a team you just don't want to see on the line with you because they've been there. They know what they're doing. They know how to handle that. I do like Oregon. Really lackluster in the Pac-12, I think, is a good word to use for them. A lot of people wanted more from Oregon this year than what they provided for us, especially going to the Pac-12 tournament. But I like them to kind of right the ship for one round, get a win over VCU, start feeling themselves a little bit more headed into a game against Iowa in the round of 32.
Yeah, this was one of the first years when it came to Oregon basketball that you didn't hear about the big name recruit that went there. I mean, you had the Bull Bull, you had, you know, Peyton Pritchardson last year, who was the senior who was taking the nation by storm and is now playing very good basketball for the Boston Celtics. And I expect the apologies to be as loud as the hate from all the pundits out there that said it was a terrible pick. Sit down. You're wrong. Once again, Jay Billis, shut up. No one likes you. So call me a homer all you want. I'm going to Oregon. I do like VCU. I like the brand of basketball they constantly play and they have been playing. Yeah. But I'm going to Oregon here. I think we got enough to get past VCU.
How many Virginia teams are in the tournament, guys? Do you know right off without looking?
Like six.
Five.
It was my guess was six, and I went through and counted. There's five.
I counted Maryland on accident.
Yeah, Maryland sits right on top of them, awfully close.
It's right there.
Right there. If you want to go that way, you go Georgetown too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that technically should be. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay. I mean, technically I was right, though, so let's not forget that.
All right, guys, that gets us to the round of 32. We finally pared it down. So let's jump back into the East region. And this is an intriguing round of 32 matchup. One I'm looking forward to, Michigan-LSU.
Michigan. Let's speed this up. We've gave our spiels Michigan.
Yeah. Gotcha. Michigan. All right, next up, another intriguing game, Georgetown-Florida State.
Not betting against Patrick Chewing.
I have Colorado, Florida State. I'm actually going to stick with Colorado.
Ooh. Are you? Wow. Going right through. But
we both have whoever Colorado Georgetown is going to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
So we both like the 8-12 or the 5-12 they're going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Okay. There's a little back and forth on this one, Michigan State or BYU. So let's go Michigan State, Texas.
Yeah. I'd BYU, Texas. I still like Texas and Shaka. I like what he's doing there.
Yeah, I had UCLA, Texas. I'm taking Texas again. Okay, I was going to say then BYU, riding Texas. The train. I'm on the train of Shaka this year.
All right, Texas. And up next, Maryland, Alabama, or UConn, Alabama, whoever you called it.
close game. I think it's going to be a close game, whoever plays each other. I'm going Maryland.
I think I called UConn Alabama. I'm going to stick with Alabama. They're a complete team right now, especially that two slot. They drew a good quarter of their quarter of the bracket. I like Alabama here.
Yeah, I got the 10 upsetting two in this instance.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Yep. All right. And I think historically, if you go back, look, Maryland playing out of the 10 usually plays pretty solid.
Sure.
They seem to play a little better as a lower seed, which doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense, but they do.
Not a lot of, expectations.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not a lot of pressure. All right. In the Midwest bracket, guys, Illinois, Georgia Tech. Who you got?
Boy, if there was an upset, it's Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the way Georgia Tech is playing right now. It's close, but I just don't have it in me to pick against Illinois right now. So I'm going Illinois over Georgia Tech in a fun second round matchup.
Yep. I think this could be one of the classics of this tournament. I think this could be a buzzer beater. This could be a block shot. This could be a steal, a clutch play to end the game. I'm still going with Illinois. I would like to see Georgia Tech eke this out, but I just think Illinois has a little too much.
All right. Talk about a nice little barn burner here. Tennessee, Oklahoma State.
I wanted so badly to ride Tennessee to the Elite or the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
But I can't. I can't go against Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. No, that's I'm with you, and I'm the Tennessee fan. I get that. The only way Tennessee stays in this is if they bring the elite national level defense, which they have. And mm-hmm. Yves Pons, Air France, is a finalist for National Defensive Player of the Year, and very much should be. Mm-hmm. Tennessee would have to do a lot to play at the level of Oklahoma State for 40 minutes and get the win. I don't know if they have it in them. That breaks my heart to say that. I'm taking Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State because Oklahoma State has the dude you can put the ball in his hands and he can get you something, and Tennessee doesn't. And ultimately, that's what will kill Tennessee.
Gotcha. All right, next up, guys, we had a little arbitrary back and forth here with Syracuse, San Diego State. So let's first go SDSU versus West Virginia.
Yeah, I had San Diego State and West Virginia. I had San Diego State and Morehead State. I took the upset over Huggy Bear.
You did. Yes, you did.
I'm going to stick with Morehead State.
Ooh, riding Morehead State through. Chris, what you got? I think you had San Diego State too, did you not, over Syracuse?
No, I had Syracuse. The Bayhan Syracuse Brothers.
That's right. The Bayhan Boys versus West Virginia.
West Virginia. I think Huggins has got this team raring to go. I think they could – I honestly think they could make it to the Final Four, but it would not be surprised me if they lose round one. I think they are a boom or bust team this year, but I think they're going to be on more of the boom side, so West Virginia.
Okay. The State University of New Jersey versus Houston in the next round.
I really like Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
All right. We're moving up to the South bracket. Virginia Tech, Ohio State, going from the bottom up. It's going to be an awfully good game.
Now, Cam said something in the first round matchup about Ohio State. If the Ohio State team shows up like we know they can, if they show up and play to their ability,
yeah,
that's the big question. If, which is why I have Virginia Tech upsetting Ohio State here, another 10-2 upset.
I love that. I think Ohio State gets rolling. I think Ohio State beats Oral Roberts, and I think they make a statement in the round of 32 going into the Sweet 16 that they do not want to be messed with.
All right, next game, Arkansas, Utah State.
Arkansas is too hot right now. I think they're one of those few teams that's just playing on fire. I don't know if Utah State can do enough to hang on to Arkansas. If you have a team that can run and shoot threes and they're hot all at the same time, that is a tough trio to beat in a one round or a one game tournament.
I had Arkansas, Texas Tech, and I have Texas Tech beating Arkansas in a shock, most people would say.
Nice.
Yeah, good one.
All right. Winthorpe, Purdue. Talk about an interesting matchup.
I'm taking Winthrop. I'm doing it. I have Winthrop beating Villanova, Purdue winning. I have Winthrop beating Purdue and going to the round of 16.
I hope you're right because I want to see something like that. I had Villanova, Purdue, and I have Villanova beating Purdue.
Okay. All right, Baylor, North Carolina, fellas, this could shape up. If North Carolina brings the game they're capable of bringing, North Carolina, Baylor could be just a menagerie of athletes going at one another.
Ooh, great word, menagerie.
Well done. I like that. I agree with you. The last thing I want to see is Roy Williams taking a team to a Final Four. This Baylor team is too good. They're just too good. They're too deep. And it's crazy to say this because we haven't gotten to say this in a long time. Baylor is clearly more athletic than UNC.
They clearly
have better players. I like Baylor. Another statement win going into the round of 16. I think Baylor wins that game by 15 or 20 and puts everybody on notice.
I completely agree with that. I have Baylor winning big. This North Carolina team can be good, but they also can be bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that they can't rely on, oh, we're North Carolina, because if they do, Baylor will come in there and punch them straight in the mouth. And I think Baylor is going to make this their statement game.
Agree. Over in the West bracket, guys, Gonzaga, Oklahoma.
Gonzaga.
Yeah. That one.
Gonzaga, whomever.
Yeah.
Gonzaga. Next, guys, we had a little bit back and forth here. Creighton, Ohio, or Creighton, UVA? Let's go Creighton, Ohio first.
I had UCSB, Ohio.
UCSB, yep.
And guess what? Right UCSB. On, Gauchos, UCSB going through.
I have Creighton, Virginia, and I like Creighton.
Okay. All right, next matchup. USC, Kansas.
I have Drake, Kansas, and I will
You've
be
got
taking
Drake, Kansas?
I will be taking Drake over there. Or Kansas. Oh, you're not Drake. Sorry.
I was about to say.
Taking Kansas.
Yeah, I have USC, Kansas. USC. Evan Mobley.
Whoa. Good.
USC. I am so high on this USC men's basketball team, and it's literally riding on the shoulders of the Mobley brothers, but mostly Evan.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with it.
All right. Here's going to be a very good game. Oregon, Iowa.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game, but I think Luke Garza's too damn good. Luka Garza's too damn good. Iowa.
I think Iowa's ceiling is higher. I think Oregon's floor is lower. Mm-hmm. And I think with that combination, it's tough to pick an Oregon team over this Iowa team with the way they operate. I'm with Chris. I like Garza and Iowa over Oregon. Not mad if Oregon pulls the upset, though. Would love to see this Oregon team go deep.
Yeah.
Right. But I got Luka. Next, yeah.
We're in the next round, fellas. We're in the round getting 16. To round of eight. 16, yep, getting to eight here. Baylor Winthorpe or Baylor Purdue? I got Baylor Winthorpe.
I got Baylor Nova, Baylor.
Yeah, I've got Baylor Villanova, Baylor.
Okay. Arkansas.
I thought you had Winthrop too. I'm so sorry. Baylor Winthrop, Baylor in a big one.
Okay. Kind of a difference of opinions here. We all had Arkansas, I believe. Arkansas, Virginia Tech, or Arkansas, Ohio State. So let's look at Arkansas, Virginia Tech first.
I had the two Tech schools. I had Texas Tech, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Once again, Virginia Tech.
I think Arkansas, Ohio State could be game of the tournament if those two meet each other because of the way that they're built. Ohio State, long, lanky, can switch everything. Arkansas just wants to run you to death and shoot threes. That is a mix of a classic NCAA March Madness team and game. I like Ohio State over Arkansas in that matchup.
Wow. Okay.
I really like this Ohio State team.
Yeah, they're tough.
Which means they're going to lose in the first round, and I'm going to look like
right. An idiot. Right, but that's okay. yeah. This year, that's okay. Next bracket, Illinois, Oklahoma State.
All right, this is the first time I kind of had to pause here. I kind of like Oklahoma State here over Illinois. I'm doing it. I'm pulling the trigger. 4-1. Oklahoma State knocks out Illinois.
I think this is that statement game to a different level. You know, when Duke played UCF, it was Taco versus Zion, and Zion inevitably proved why he was the best player in the nation. I think Cade Cunningham is going to have his statement game here. I think he's going to come out and say, you know what? There's a lot of people talking about this player. There's a lot of people talking about that player. I'm still that guy. Oklahoma State.
Gotcha. West Virginia, Houston, if I read y'all correctly on this, fellas. Or maybe, Chris, you were Syracuse, Houston.
Nope, I was West Virginia, Houston. Okay. Take me home, country roads, West Virginia.
I believe I was Houston, San Diego State, because I had San Diego State and Morehead State playing each other. So I was Houston, San Diego State. Really like the way Houston is playing. I like Houston over San Diego State in the Elite Eight. To go to the Elite Eight.
Okay. All right, so we've got our eight guys. Well, no, we don't. Not quite. Gonzaga and either Creighton, UVA, or Ohio. Whoever you got, they're a little more there.
It doesn't matter. It's Gonzaga.
Doesn't matter.
It's Gonzaga. I had Gonzaga, Iowa. It's Gonzaga.
Yeah. I had Gonzaga, Creighton. I had Gonzaga.
Okay. USC or Kansas, Iowa.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I thought we were talking about the Final Four already.
Nope.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga, UCSB, Gonzaga. Yeah.
Yeah.
USC, Iowa.
Good my game.
My love for Evan Mobley weighs a little bit here. great player. I think the seniority and age of Luka Garza edges him out here. I think Iowa in a very close game.
Age or maturity?
Maturity, age, whatever.
I have Kansas, Iowa, chalk 2-3 seed. I'm gonna go Kansas. I'm gonna go the coach that's been there. He gets his players back and they're healthier. I like the way Kansas has been playing. I like Kansas to eke out Iowa.
Okay. Next round here in the next bracket, I'm sorry, Michigan, Georgetown, or Michigan, Florida State.
Battle of two dominant college big men, Juwan Howard versus Patrick Chewing. I think Michigan are just too good. I think Juwan Howard has that team rolling. I think I got Michigan here.
I have Michigan, Colorado. The run for Michigan ends here. I think Colorado beats them.
Colorado.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting. Good call. We'll go with that. Next round, Texas, Maryland.
Or Texas, Bama. I have Texas, Maryland. I'm riding them Terps. Maryland going through.
Hey.
I have Texas, Alabama. I think Texas goes through with Shaka.
Okay. All right.
I would not be mad at that.
All right. We've almost got our Final Four set, guys. All right. So tell me, who is your Final Four? Not even going to have to go through the game or matchups potentials because there are some discrepancies. Who's your Final Four? Who do you got coming out of the South, Cam?
The South, I have Baylor coming out of the South, and they will be playing Ohio State. I have a 1-2 out of the South.
Okay. Chris, who do you got coming out of the South?
I have Baylor paying VT, and I have Baylor.
Okay. Out of the Midwest, I think we all agreed Oklahoma State, West Virginia could be a barn burner.
I have Oklahoma State and Houston.
Oklahoma State, Houston. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go back for a second. I have Baylor over Ohio State. And then I've got Oklahoma State and Houston. I like Oklahoma State
coming out
seed in the Final Four. Yeah.
Oklahoma State versus West Virginia. Oklahoma State going in.
Okay. Out of the East, could be Michigan, Georgetown, Texas, Maryland, Alabama.
Who do we got?
Who's it going to be? Who you got?
I have Colorado, Texas. I'm gonna put three Big 12 teams in the Final Four. Texas.
There you go. I got Michigan, Maryland. I think Maryland's, I guess you could call it a Cinderella run, comes to an end. I think Michigan goes to the Final Four.
All right, and out of the West, guys, who you got?
I have Gonzaga, Iowa. This is going to be a damn good game. If it happens, I got Gonzaga going through, though. Just too good.
I have Gonzaga, Kansas. I think this is a point where Gonzaga has to show that they are who they say they are, and they are who we think they are. I was really trying to find a way to avoid that phrase, but I just couldn't do it with the time I gave myself. Gonzaga has to prove they're for real, and they're going to win a national title this year. I have Gonzaga beating Kansas, or in another scenario, I have four Big 12 teams in the Final Four, but I definitely don't have that. So I've got Gonzaga, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Texas in the Final Four.
Yep. I got Gonzaga, Baylor, Okie State, Michigan.
I got Gonzaga, Baylor, Okie State, and Michigan. All right, so for your final, who you got in your championship game against one another?
It's the two best teams in the country from start to finish. Two best teams in the country since day one have been Baylor, and it's been Gonzaga. And I don't necessarily think it's been close. Teams like Illinois have been playing hot. Teams like Ohio State have been playing hot. Cade Cunningham has been able to keep Oklahoma State in a lot of games because of how good he is and that cast is. But the two best teams from start to finish have clearly been Gonzaga and Baylor. I believe those are the two teams that we see in the championship game.
I think salivating scout matchup. I have Gonzaga versus Okie State. I have Jalen Suggs versus Cade Cunningham.
And I've got Gonzaga Baylor. And who is your champion this year, gentlemen?
Who's going first?
Gonzaga.
I want to keep riding the Cade Cunningham carrying train. I just think it's going to be a Jimmy Butler situation for him. I think he's going to be beat at this point. If they even make it this far, I think they will. I think Gonzaga as a team is just that much better than everybody. And I also think this could be, like I said, the Jimmy Butler moment where Cade Cunningham's tired and Jalen Suggs gets the better of him.
Well, this is the absolute kiss of death for everybody in the country because all three of us have the same team winning the national championship, which means Gonzaga will lose in the first round to the play-in team.
Yep.
Right.
I think from start to finish, Gonzaga's been the best team in the country. They are they do it just so well on both ends of the floor. They've got a mix of young freshman talent and transfers that know what they're doing and that are playing at such a high clip. I want to finally see Gonzaga hang a banner and cut down the nets. I'm going Gonzaga over Baylor.
Gonzaga has been a destination for basketball players for the last 15 years, and people just don't know it. They really haven't paid much attention. They're like, oh, Gonzaga's back again? Yeah, with a record of only like 2, 3, 4 losses each year. They have built a dynasty out there, and they are the best team from top to bottom.
Yep.
So we're actually all in agreement that Adam Morrison's alma mater is going to win the title.
The Fighting Zags.
Yep. I know it has to do with teams being hot at the right time, and that plays a factor for a little while. But when you run into two buzzsaws like Baylor and Gonzaga, I think it's just too hard to overcome.
So,
you know, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good. You're good.
I was just going to say, in a year, you know, in most years when you kind of feel like you have a group of teams that could win it, I think there are too many teams where you think they could win it, but only based on the fact of if they stay hot, where I think Gonzaga and Baylor can win it day in and day out. They don't have to stay hot because they're just so good.
They're just so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've sat here and we've talked about this tournament for an hour and a half now, but I think the actual most pressing question and the biggest choice I'm going to ask you right now is, does this tournament even finish?
That is a good question.
Do we get through it?
That is a very good question.
Is there a team like a Baylor or a Gonzaga that gets pulled out because of COVID?
Man, I hope not.
I mean, honestly, it's a viable question at this point. We just saw, you know, I mean, look at the conference championships. Look at the women's bracket now. This could happen to anybody. Does this tournament even finish?
Does it finish? Yeah. And does it finish with the usual suspects we think will be there?
I believe the tournament finishes. It was weird seeing certain teams get hit with the COVID bug because it was the Blue Bloods, which you kind of don't really expect. but it wasn't a lot of teams getting hit with it. So I think they do a good enough job. I think you can control more as a college coach than you can an NBA coach when you have everybody in a bubble. You can have more people with more eyes on your team. So I like the tournament to finish. I think every team stays healthy that needs to stay healthy to finish.
That would be nice, a clean finish, clean, healthy finish.
I think the tournament does finish because I can't see the NCAA, the money-grubbing organization that they are, going back-to-back years without having a finished March Madness.
Or you know they're in
last year's, a non-existent March Madness. But I do think a team or two gets pulled out of this. And I think one of them will be a big-name team.
I don't doubt that one bit. You know, somebody's just going to get the itch and just, well, I'm going to go out and get some pizza. I'm going to go out and grab this.
Yeah. Our fearless leader, Tony, saying don't sleep on Houston, and also Boo Gonzaga. The reason he's saying Boo Gonzaga is he is a Baylor fan. So that's where that comes from. That
would make sense.
That would make sense as well.
Sometimes your fandom overrides your wisdom, and that is okay.
That is what college sports is built on, I believe. Correct. And we are all okay with it. This has been the Sports Summit, dedicating an entire show to the March Madness bracket, as we should, by the way.
There's been a lot of big things that have happened in sports. But March Madness takes precedent.
March Madness is the biggest thing that has happened
so
far. Which
is insane, because one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time hung him up. Find out next week.
Yep. Find out next week. We'll be back next week to talk about something that happened a week ago. But we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. You can always find us right here on YouTube. Like and subscribe and comment. You can find us on our website, shootingthesportsish.com. You can find Chris, NattyLight2822 on Twitter. Coach speaks through us via our Twitter handle, Sports Summit Pod. And you can find me on Twitter at CM Says Stuff. Other than that, do we have anything we want to end on? Coach, do you want to hit us with something good?
Tell me something good.